We're going to continue, finish up talking about that today. If you want to get a copy of last week's CD, they're out there in the lobby, or you can catch it on Stitcher or iTunes and something like that. But Christmas is God's mission to save us. Look what the angel said on the very first Christmas. Luke 2:11 says, the angel announced, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be a great joy to all people. Today, a Savior has been born for you. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord." Now, I love this when I think about, like Lee said, when you go back and you really think about what was happening, and the angel appears and says, "Don't be afraid." Well, that's the first thing that I'm going to happen at this first Christmas is I'm probably going to be afraid if some angel shows up. But he assures him and says, "Don't be afraid." And it tells me, he says, God didn't send Jesus to scare us, but he sent him to save us. This is good news. It's not bad news. It's great joy. Christmas is good news. And what I really like this verse says, it says it's to all people. To all people. I don't care if you're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Buddhist, Baptist, Muslim, Mormon, atheist, agnostic, skeptic, or no religion at all. This good news is for you. All people, all religions. Today, a Savior has been born for you. And that's Christmas. That Savior's name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which is lost." Well, we talked about last week, what do I lose when I'm lost? And in your outline, you're going to see, I said, I lose my direction. I lose my direction. I lose my protection. You know, we lose our potential. We lose our happiness. We lose our home in heaven. We lose our connectedness. I can tell when someone is disconnected. Do you know, I know I told you last week, the minute that you tell me I'm stressed out, the minute someone says, "I'm stressed out," you're disconnected from God. You're disconnected from God. And you lose these things. Guys, if you and I, if we didn't need a Savior, believe me, God wouldn't have wasted his time to send one. God doesn't waste effort. You say, "Jim, I don't need a Savior." Well, the sheep didn't know it either. And the coin, the lost coin didn't know it either. You know, the only one that knew they were lost was this human being. But the coin couldn't save itself. You couldn't save yourself. The sheep couldn't save itself. I couldn't save myself. We need a Savior. Christmas is because you need a Savior. I've lost. Without a Savior, I've lost that connection to God. No way you and me are getting into heaven on our own. Now, what does it mean to be saved? You know, this word saved and salvation is multifaceted, kind of like a diamond. You can look at it from a lot of different angles. And the Bible uses dozens of words, you know, for that meaning to be saved. It uses words like salvation. It uses words like forgiveness, freedom, fulfillment, a future, pardon, purpose in life, peace, power, provision. In these three stories that we talked about, we began to talk about last week, I have just fell in love with Luke chapter 15. It tells us just how much God loves lost people. You know, and we talked about the lost shepherd, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost person. The lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son all represent you and me. The shepherd in the story represents God. The woman represents God. And the father represents God. That's what we're going to talk about that today. Is what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean? Well, in the same way that a shepherd looks after a lost sheep, number one is this, we're going to go ahead and fill in our blank, is this, Jesus came to rescue me. And I want you to write that in there because I started to put, he came to rescue you, he came to rescue me. But it makes it something neat when you write the words, Jesus came to rescue me. And that's how I like to look at him, is he came to rescue us, because that's what it's all about. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, Jesus is the only one who can bring us to God. He became a human and gave himself to rescue all of us. You can't, I can't. Guys, we can't because we're not perfect. Jesus is perfect and we're not. Well, some might tell me, Jim, I don't really need to be rescued from anything. I'd have to say, oh, really? Really? Then why can't you solve all your problems? If you don't need to be rescued from anything, why do you have all your problems? And if you don't need to be rescued, you shouldn't have any problems. But the fact is, you can't solve your problems. So you need a Savior. If you could have solved your problems, you would have. But you can't, so you ain't. You need a Savior. Guys, there's some things in your life that you want to change. You've tried over and over and over, but you're never going to change them. You're never going to change them. You don't have enough power. You need a Savior. You need a rescuer. Now, here's something I've learned, and I want you to write it down. It took me a long time to learn it, but it gave me peace, it gave me power, and it gave me joy. This here, some problems in my life are not solved by trying. They are solved by trusting. Some problems in my life are not solved by trying. They're solved by trusting, trusting God. Psalm 50:15, this is what you ought to put on your refrigerator. Trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Have you been trying to fix some things on your own? You've been trying to change some things on your own? God's word says some problems in your life are not solved by trying. They're solved by trusting. God don't lie. He cannot lie. He came to rescue us. Now here's a question I have for you that I'd like for you to soak on this week. Is what do you need to be set free from? What do you need to be set free from? Some of you guys need to be set free from the expectations of other people. Some of you guys need to, you're still living for your parents' approval. You're still living for your peers' approval. You're still living for your friends' approval. And you can't be who you were made to be because you're living for everybody else. Some of you guys need to be set free from worry. I've told you before, worry is practical atheism. You're not trusting God. Some of you guys need to be set free from guilt. Guilt does not come from God. You've been carrying that regret so long that every time something like that comes up, every time something like that, somebody brings up the past, it just bothers you and you shut down. Some of you guys are carrying around shame. You need to be set free from it. You're a child of the King. Shame doesn't belong in your life. Some of you guys have been carrying around bitterness. You need to be set free from it. Some of you may be like me, need to be set free from anger. I'm going to tell you, it was free. Some need to be set free from addictions. Like pornography or alcohol. Or drugs, or food, or tobacco. Some of you guys need to be set free. But I'm telling you, you can find recovery through Jesus Christ. And Jesus came, that's why we celebrate Christmas, to set you and I free. Also like the woman searching for the coin. I tell you, it may be one of my favorites of the three is this. As you kind of put yourself in this place. Number two is this. Jesus came to recover me. Jesus came to recover me. That's why I wanted to play the, it was a different video. I wanted to play the cardboard. I thought we had it, but we didn't. I wanted to talk about how Jesus came to recover us. In those days, in the people's houses, the floors were dirt and straw. And so if you lost something on the floor, it was serious searching going on. It was like finding a needle in a haystack. Matthew 11, 28 says this. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and worn out from caring too much. Learn to trust and rest in me, and you'll recover your life." I got to ask you today, what do you need to recover that you've lost? What do you need to recover? Is it your strength that you need to recover? Is it your confidence? Is it your hope that you need to recover? Is it your reputation? You've been trying to recover it with stuff and work. Do you need to recover your innocence? Do you need to recover your relationship to God today? Do you need to recover your joy? Well, I want to highly recommend something. When it comes to personal recovery, I want to highly recommend that you don't look to the government to be your personal savior. Because your savior will not be the man that we put in the White House. It will be the man that we put on the cross. That's who our personal savior would be. I don't want you looking anywhere or anyone else for your personal recovery. Only Jesus Christ. He will do it. This is what I love about God. Joel 2:25 says, "I will give you back what you lost in the years when the locusts ate all your crops." Now, years ago, we don't have a lot of trouble with locusts in North Georgia. But years ago, millions and millions of locusts would come through, and the farmers would plant their fields, and they put all their assets into those fields, and it took them years to build them up. But the locusts could come through in 5 minutes and just wipe everything out. Just wipe it out. Total disaster, total destruction. Now, we don't have locusts eating our fields. Not many of us are farmers. But I talked to you guys. We got some emotional locust that's eating away at your emotions. We got some relational locust that's tearing your relationships down. We got some financial locust. But God promises you and me in Joel 2:25, you give them to me, you trust those things with me, and I will give them back. I will give them back. I will give you back what you lost in the years when the locusts ate all you have. You may be in a financial wreck right now. But God says, you give them to me. You only wind up with half this year what you had last year. I'll give it back to you. He says, you need recovery. And recovery comes through Christ. Then like the father. Like the father running out to greet his lost son. We were talking about, Luke and I were talking about this. Yesterday, I guess it was, we're talking about the difference. Because my picture is this big burly guy giving his son this big bear hug he'd been looking for. You know, because I was telling Luke about man weight. Y'all know about man weight? When we're about 18 or 19 years old, we're not that big, it seems like men aren't. And, you know, when I went in the Air Force, I was 5'8", 129 pounds. Nothing but a fighting machine. And when I got about 21, I came back from Korea, I was 6'208". I'm a little above that right now. But someone once told me, said, you put on your man weight. So I can see this young man that's been out in the world, and the world's beat him up. I see him as about 129 pounds. And here's his dad on the porch waiting on him to come up. Just waiting on him. 6'208". and he just grabs him in this bear hug. You know, a lot of people tell me, they say, Jim, the only thing about if I come back to God, he's going to scold me. This scripture doesn't tell me that. The scripture doesn't tell me that God scolds me or that he gets onto you. It tells me that God isn't mad at you. He's mad about you, and he wants you to come back. He says, go get the ring. Go get the fatted calf. Go get the robe. We're going to have a party. The son has been gone, and now he's back. Dad was glad that we're home. That's the story of Christmas. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Anyone who connects to Christ becomes a new person. The past is forgotten. The past is forgotten. And everything becomes new. God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us. Jesus came to reconnect me. He came to reconnect me. Remember what I told you before? I can tell someone's disconnected right off. Like I said, one of the first things they tell me, I'm so stressed out. I'm so stressed out. Or I'm just so stressed out. Well, they're disconnected from God. But God says, I'm waiting on you. I sent my son to reconnect. And that's what Christmas is about. The word for reconnect in the Bible, we call it reconciliation. See, when a husband and wife reconcile, you know what that is? What that means? When a husband and wife reconcile, it means the war's over. It means the war is over. When two nations reconcile, it means peace has come. Peace has come. When you reconcile the books, whether at work or at home, it's called balancing them. When you reconcile them together, peace. When God sent his son to reconcile you and I back to relationship with God, we're no longer out of whack. We're back together. There's harmony. Jesus came to make peace. He came to make peace. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. Romans 5:2 says this. This is what I love too about God. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. God's already there waiting. He was there the whole time, and he made the initiative to come to us. He took the initiative. Last week I told you about Luke and I at Unicorn, how we got lost and everything. Well, also got lost at another place. And I put this on my Facebook status this week. But about 25 years ago, before the kids was born, I used to hunt a lot more than I did. And then when the kids come along, I just didn't have the interest like I did. But Steve Jackson and I got drawn for the hunt at Berry College. And Berry College has the largest campus, I guess, in the United States. It's just woods, just acres and acres of woods. And so Steve Jackson put me out. And you know Steve, don't you, Dustin? He put me in a place to hunt. Well, he couldn't come the next day, so I went by myself. You know, 5'8", 129, mean. Well, I got out there, and I'd done pretty good, but I'd ate all my food pretty quick. I'd ate all my crackers and stuff. And I was up in the stand a good while, and some no deer, really, and some turkeys come along. I distract easily, Bob. I climbed down out of the tree and started watching the turkey. They were pretty interesting, and I followed the turkeys. Well, I kept following the turkeys. I don't know how long I followed the turkeys. Well, then I realized I didn't know where I was at. I was lost. You know, and I hear everybody hunting and say, oh, follow this ridge and go down in that holler, and, you know, that's just a bunch of goofiness. Everything looks the same. This ridge looks like that ridge, and that holler looks like that holler. And I got news for you. Pine trees look alike. I was lost. I was scared. I was really scared. But then I thought, I don't want to just sit here and wait till they get my face printed on the milk carton. And then I don't want to wait for the helicopters to come. So I'm going to start walking. I just walked. I walked. I don't know how far I walked. I was tired. I was hungry and I was scared. And I finally saw a clearing. I said, that must be a dirt road. And I got up there, and it was a dirt road. And I said, hey. I got on the dirt road, and I started walking. And it didn't matter which direction. I didn't know which one, I didn't know where I was at. So I just started walking. And 25 years or so ago, I wasn't, let's say I wasn't at the level of Christianity that I might be now. But that was kind of what was a neat thing. I prayed because I was scared, and God heard my prayer. God heard my prayers, and pretty soon the truck come around that corner. And boy, was I relieved. Because I just, you know, my first thought was somebody's come to rescue me. Not only did he send someone to rescue me, they were also from Adairsville. And I knew them. Which was kind of a two-edged sword because word got to town pretty quick that I was lost. And I was walking around out in Berry College and I was lost. And it was Ricky Witt. And so first words, Ricky said, what you doing? I said, I'm lost. He said, where's your truck? And I told him where I thought my truck was. He said, man, that's a long way off. I said, I know. He said, you want a ride? Y'all know what I said? Here's what I didn't say. I didn't say, nah. I'm good. I didn't say, I'm okay being lost. I jumped in the truck. I wasn't okay being lost. You know, I never went hunting to Berry College again. Never put in for it. It was a scary time for me. Now, at first glance, Ricky probably thought, hey, there's a hunter walking very confidently. He had a gun. I had a gun, but I was scared. And I wasn't very confident. And I remembered being lost, that feeling. I never went back. Not hunting at Berry. Never went back. Well, I tell that story because it reminds me of Christmas a lot. For many years as a Christian, or for many years at Christmas, I celebrated Christmas. You know, I done all the stuff at Christmas. Sung the songs, swapped the presents, had the tree up. But I never unwrapped the present that God sent me. You see, God sent his son as a present. And many years, guys, we walk around Christmas and we never unwrap it. We celebrate Christmas. We even fight to say Merry Christmas. But we never unwrap the gift of salvation or the gift of freedom or the gift of fulfillment or the gift of purpose. You know what we say? We say, hey, would you like this gift that God has sent? We say, nah, I'm good. I'm lost. I'll just continue walking. I'm good. I'm okay being lost. And we never unwrap it. So I want to ask you today a real simple question. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be rescued? Do you want to unwrap this present that you've been celebrating? Have you wandered away? Are you disconnected? Do you want to be set free from something? Addictions? Or you just want to say, I'm good being lost. I'm good being addicted. I'm good with my relationships being out of whack. Is it really okay? Is it really? Because God sent his son. He sent his son. An easy fix. You've been trying a lot of different things. When he said, you ought to stop trying and start trusting. And I want to get back to something before I cut back. If you are here today, I want you to pay attention to what happened. I didn't go back to Berry College. 25 years, never went back hunting. I almost didn't go back for Angie's graduation. If today you make a decision to be set free from something, don't go back. If today you make the decision that I'm going to be set free from alcohol, don't go to the bar to eat the peanuts. If today you say I'm going to be set free from drugs, get you some new friends. If today you say, I'm going to be set free from a food addiction, then throw some stuff out of the pantry. If today you say, I'm going to be set free from pornography, then you do what you can on your computer to do something about it. If today you say, I want to be set free from being stressed out, then you connect yourself to God. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back hunting. Whatever you need to be set free from, don't you go back until you have the strength. Or at least you have a GPS. Would you pray with me? My Lord, I remember that feeling of being lost. It was an awful feeling. I was wandering with no direction. And gosh, it don't seem right that we could wander without direction right here in the middle of Christmas, but we do. Oh, we sing the songs, we dress the right part. We wear the sweaters. But we're so disconnected from you, it's pathetic. We're chained by our addictions. Whether it's food or alcohol or the approval of other people, our stuff. Still trying to impress people. With stuff we can't afford. Money we ain't got. And people we don't like. But Lord, help us. Save us from ourselves. Reconnect us. Thank you for the plan. Thank you for your son and sending your son to seek and to save those who are lost. And let us not go back. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.